Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and we are going to bring you this show in English of RAE from Monday, July 28, 2025. We'll have news, we'll have sports, we'll have plenty of music with a feature on Argentine covers, that's to say Argentine bands performing their renditions of famous international songs or English language songs that you guys may be familiar with, but I'm pretty sure that you've never heard these Spanish language renditions by Argentine groups. We'll also bring back from our archives an interview with an English expat here in Buenos Aires, Daniel Tunard, who's also a writer, and who took all of the buses in Buenos Aires, almost 200 lines, and he chronicled all of these trips in a book called Collectivization. It's a pretty funny look of the city of Buenos Aires that we'd like to share with you today with this interview that we are bringing back from our archives. I think that I conducted this interview back in 2013, but it's still valid because all of these buses are still running around in the city. But that will come after the news. Let's get started now with the headlines first. Argentines may soon be able to enter the US without a visa. The government will lower export taxes on grains. Heavy snowfall continues in southern Argentina, where a man was saved from freezing thanks to his dogs. Buenos Aires' labyrinth neighborhood turns 100 years. And sports, Franco Colapinto of Argentina finishes 19th in the Belgian Grand Prix. And let's develop on the news. Argentines may soon be allowed back into the United States without a visa, as was the case back in the 1990s. Starting today, Argentina begins the process of joining the visa waiver program. This plan allows travelers from participating countries to visit the United States for up to 90 days for tourism or business purposes without a visa. Applicants only need to fill out an online form, avoiding interviews at US consulates. Currently, Chile is the only South American country in the program. Local media report that the announcement will be made during a visit to Buenos Aires by the American Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem. In other news, President Javier Milei has announced a reduction in grain export duties, the country's main source of foreign income. He made the announcement while opening Argentina's largest agricultural fair, the Rural Expo in Palermo. During his speech, Milei described the export taxes, known locally as retenciones or retentions, as nefarious and sinister. He promised the cuts would be permanent with no reversal while he remains in office. The export duty on corn, as he announced it, will drop from 12 to 9.5%, sunflower from 7 to 5.5%, and soybeans from 33 to 26%. In other news, severe snowfall continues to hit southern Argentina. Some areas in the Andes have seen up to 40 centimeters of snow within hours. Several Patagonian highways are partially closed due to dangerous driving conditions, and in Rio Negro, four people died in a road crash during the storm. In a dramatic turn, a ranch worker named Nahuel Vince was rescued from near-fatal hypothermia. He had gotten lost in a snowy field and his dogs lay on top of him to keep him warm. After sending out a distress signal from his phone, he was rescued 5 hours later. And Buenos Aires' labyrinth-like neighborhood turns 100. The district of Parque Chas is celebrating its centennial. Its signature circular street layout stands out from the city's strict grid pattern, which was designed in the 1500s in the times of the city's foundation. The area is now one of the most sought-after real estate zones, with tree-lined streets and classic PH homes. It was named after Vicente Chas, the original landowner and designer of the neighborhood. Inspired by late 19th century English garden cities, its design centers around a roundabout and features streets named after European cities such as Berlin, Dublin, and Geneva. Festivities are planned for September for the centennial by city authorities as well as neighborhood groups. And in sports, Argentine driver Franco Colapinto finished 19th in the Belgian Grand Prix. "It wasn't a good race. We need to keep working," said the Alpine driver, wrapping up his seventh Formula One start of the season. In local football, Boca Juniors lost 1-0 to Huracan, extending its winless streak to 11 games, and this is the worst in the club history. River Plate drew with no goals with San Lorenzo in the match that marked the return of Colombian playmaker Juanfer Quintero, one of the icons in the history of the club. Other results from the third round of the domestic league include Sarmiento 0, Lanús 2, Independiente Rivadavia 0, Belgrano 0, Unión and Tigre equalized with no goals, same score for Aldo Civi Newell's Rosario Central San Martín, Platense Argentinos Juniors, and Vélez Instituto. There were five games without any goals. Racing lost to Estudiantes 1-0, Gimnasia defeated Independiente 1-0, and Talleres and Godoy Cruz also had a goalless draw. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior.
Well, friends, we wanted to bring you something special now. We're gonna go over a list of songs which are very famous in the English-speaking world. Most of these songs. So famous that bands here in Argentina felt that they wanted to pay tribute to those original tracks and do their own versions. This is something that is known also as covering song. It's done all over the world, and here in Argentina, being a country that has been a forerunner in playing rock in Latin America, obviously we've got a great number of cover tracks, and we're gonna go over several of them, starting with this.
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah, on a blanket with my baby's where I'll be. Under the boardwalk, out of the sun. Under the boardwalk, having some fun.
Under the Boardwalk is the name of this track by the Drifters. It's a track from the year 1964 that was rendered two times in Argentina. The latest rendition is by Los Perros in the 1990s, but the first group that covered this band were Los Gatos Salvajes, a band founded by Lito Nevia, and this is that rendition.
Quiero olvidar los momentos que en la rambla pasé. Tú me besabas y me decías, siempre te amaré, siempre serás mi amor. Me encuentro solo.
This is not a full translation. Obviously, when you do a translation of the lyrics, sometimes you can go literal, because under the boardwalk, it doesn't go as Bajo la Rambla. They just go for Me Encuentro Solo, which is obviously much more powerful. Next in the list is a track by Sir Elton John, one of his many, many hits. You might recognize this piano intro. Beautiful song. Sorry seems to be the hardest word on this cover special on Rye.
What am I gonna do to make you love me? What am I gonna do to make you care? What do I do when lightning strikes me? And awake to find that you're not there. What do I do to make you want me?
The rendition in Argentina of this track is a translation to Spanish. Was released under the name Ya No Hay Forma de Pedir Perdón. It's not total translation. It's Ya No Hay Forma de Pedir Perdón. Is there's no way of saying I'm sorry. There's no more ways of saying I'm sorry. And the singer, songwriter, musician who covered Elton John is former Serú Girán's Pedro Aznar.
Voy a lograr que aún me quieras. ¿Cómo lograr que quieras escuchar? Cuando este fuego me desvela, pero despierto solo una vez más. ¿Cómo lograr verte de nuevo? Oh, ¿cómo de recobrar tu corazón? ¿Cómo aceptar que todo ha muerto? Ya no hay forma de pedir perdón. Absurda y triste historia que se pone cada vez peor.
What do you think, folks, of this rendition? This fantastic rendition of Elton John's Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word. It's Pedro Aznar with Ya No Hay Forma de Pedir Perdón, recorded in 1992. Aznar is mainly remembered as a bass player of a very respected and popular band here, Serú Girán, but he's a multi-instrumentalist. He plays everything and he does everything well. Sings, bass, guitar, drums, keyboards. You're listening to a cover special on Rye, and we continue with something by Mike Oldfield. His most famous hit, Moonlight Shadow. Is the year of the release of this song, the most famous hit by multi-instrumentalist Mike Oldfield from England, and it was covered in 2009 by a very popular singer-songwriter from Argentina, Marcela Morello, in a cover album called Otro Plan. The Spanish name is Luz del Cielo, The Light of the Sky.
Una luz encendida de color marfil brilla.
Marcela Morello with La Luz del Cielo, The Light of the Sky, which is the full adaptation of Moonlight Shadow by Mike Oldfield. And we have mentioned several times that Argentina loves the Rolling Stones, so there are obviously several covers of Jagger and Richards. Anthem of rock and roll. It's only rock and roll, but I like it. The song of the album of the same name, released in the year 1974, and there is a live, not a studio version of this song by Los Piojos, included in their 1999 live album Ritual. The Spanish name is, full translation, Es solo rock and roll y me gusta. In Argentina, the love for the Stones goes beyond the mere musical aspect. There are people, there are bands that not only love their music, but they love the way the Stones dress. There are bands that fully imitate, they try to impersonate Mick Jagger on the stage and his moves. They try to have like a bigger lip, and when they do pictures, they try to look like Mick Jagger. It's actually a culture, la cultura Stone o Stone, as we say here. Well, this is a cover by Los of the Rolling Stones by Los Piojos, Argentine band, with Es solo rock and roll y me gusta. And the next is a great, original, and amazing cover. You recognize this intro, unforgettable, one of the many anthems of rock of all times. David Bowie, written with Brian Eno. Heroes.
Can swim, though nothing, nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever.
And in the case of the Argentine cover of this song, we've got a band that became famous, even though they had a, and they still have, a mass following, cult following. It's kind of a cult band led by a dark but very talented musician called Ricardo Coleman. But his band in the 1980s, Friction, became known, among other tracks, but mainly by their rendition of David Bowie's Heroes. And here's that cover. Friction, Héroes. Obviously, full translation of David Bowie's Heroes. You're listening to a cover special on RAE English Connection. I actually announced the name of the founder and leader of Fricción. I translated, as it is my habit when I do international radio, as Rai. And actually, he's known here in Argentina as Richard Coleman, or Richard Coleman if you go for a Spanish pronunciation. This is Fricción with Héroes, their rendition of David Bowie's Heroes. And next on the list, we've got Todd Rundgren, a track from 1982 called Influenza, which was rendered by perhaps the most important Argentine rock artist. Todd Rundgren, singer-songwriter from the United States, not that mainstream, but very, very much respected. And this Influenza song was covered by Charly García in the year 2002 under the name Influenza, which gives name to that same album of 2002, Influenza.
Puedo ver y decir, puedo ver y decir y sentir. Algo ha cambiado, para mí no es extraño. Yo no voy a correr, yo no voy a correr ni a escapar de mi destino. Yo no pienso en peligro, si fue yo. Pero es muy difícil ver. Algo controla mi ser. En el fondo de mí.
Charly García with his rendition of Todd Rundgren's Influenza. It was released in Argentina under the name Influenza, and it's a pretty faithful translation of the original lyrics in English. And to sign off this cover special on Rai, we've got huge classic of rock, one of the most covered songs of all time. It was covered by Stones, Nat King Cole, and Chuck Berry.
Jack, take my way, it's the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it goes from St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City, looks so pretty, you see.
Well, I mentioned three artists, Nat King Cole, Chuck Berry, the Rolling Stones, but the truth is that since this song was released in the year 1946, written by Bobby Troup, it was covered by tens of artists, including one from Argentina, Norberto Papo Napolitano, who released the song in Spanish with the original names from the United States under the name Ruta 66.
Bueno, sí, sé que tú planeas ir por la autopista del oeste hasta su fin. Andarás bien por la 66. Se metea de Chicago hasta L.A. Son 2,000 millas. Más también podrás hacer, yeah. Andarás bien por la 66. por San Luis abajo está Missouri, ciudad de Oklahoma es tan bonita que verás Amarillo, Galú, hasta México. Flagstaff, Arizona, no olvides Pomona, grandes olas rompen San Bernardino. Eso es lo que querías ver en este viaje, todo lo podrás hacer. Andarás bien por la 66. San Luis, abajo está Missouri, ciudad de Oklahoma es tan bonita que verás Amarillo, Galú, hasta México. Flagstaff, Arizona, no olvides Pomona, grandes olas rompen San Bernardino. Eso lo querías ver en este viaje, todo lo podrás hacer. Andarás bien por la 66. Andarás bien por la 66. Andarás bien por la 66.
And with that, we concluded this feature dedicated to Argentine covers. That's to say, renditions by Argentine groups of important covers by foreign bands or English language foreign bands. Now we are bringing from our archives an interview that I conducted in 2013 with Daniel Tunard, an English expatriate. He married an Argentine woman. He lived here in Argentina for, I think, the best part of two decades. And he is a writer, and he took all of the buses in Buenos Aires, all of them. There are almost 200 lines. He took at least once every single line in the city, and he kept notes. And then those notes became a book about his journeys across the city of Buenos Aires on all of the lines. And it's a very interesting book. With a very funny insight into the Argentine capital, because Daniel is indeed a pretty funny man. He's also a stand-up comedian. He gave me an interview back in 2013, soon after the book was released. The book's pretty good, by the way. I recommend it. And, well, we talked about his journeys. Obviously, the interview is almost 10 years old, but it still applies, because all of these bus lines are still around the city, even though the itinerary in some cases have changed because of the Metrobus special lanes for buses that changed some of the line's itineraries. But it still applies. It's a timeless talk that we'd like to share with you on today's program.
No matter how varied the language, the true essence is local. RAI, the international service of the Argentine radio, a unique signal from our domestic broadcaster.
Okay, it's the time to introduce our guest tonight, Daniel Tunard from Sheffield, is that correct?
I was born in Sheffield, yes, you could say I'm from Sheffield.
And brought up in?
That allows me to play for Yorkshire at cricket as well, so yes, we'll say I'm from Sheffield.
I'm familiar with Sheffield because of the movie.
Where the movie about Yorkshire tea?
No, the movie about the strippers.
Oh, yeah, yes. They're all like that in Sheffield. We can't keep our clothes on.
but you weren't you were raised where?
In Stockport, in South Manchester.
Okay, and Daniel is releasing a book this week entitled Collectivization. It's about his chronicles of the buses of Buenos Aires. He took every single bus in the city of Buenos Aires. How many in total?
140 different lines.
And well, then he pours his stories into this book that is being released this week. But before plunging into the subject of the book, why don't you tell the audience what's your personal story? What's your connection to Argentina?
Well, I first came to Buenos Aires in 1997. I was heading to Montevideo to do my year abroad for Sheffield University. To study Spanish there, nominally. In actual fact, we sat around the TV watching bad films and pretended we were learning from the subtitles.
Yeah, but I mean, it's what every single student abroad does. I think.
Yeah, and the gin was very cheap, so, you know, we were happy. But before I went to Montevideo, I spent 3 days in Buenos Aires, and on the second day, I happened to meet a delightful young lady from Buenos Aires and ended up marrying her. 3 years later.
And you got stuck here.
So I came back in 99, thinking that I'd stay for a few months and see how things went. And I ended up staying for 15 years so far. Not with the same wife. I now have a second wife who's...
also an Argentine.
Also an Argentine.
A reincidente, as we say.
I'd say hello, Josefina, but I know she isn't listening. She was complaining today about all these interviews I've been doing. Well, I haven't mentioned her once, but she's not always listening.
It comes
either.
With a job. I mean, being a writer, the week of the release, it's inevitable.
Yes, it's inevitable. one forgets about one's wife, apparently.
And you're a man of many talents.
I am.
I mean, you're a writer, stand-up comedian.
Yes.
Producer.
I was described as an actor back in Nodossi today. They interviewed me. They called me an actor.
An actor.
And all my friends said, "Who are you calling yourself an actor for?" Of course, what they don't know is if you do stand-up comedy in Argentina, they automatically call you an actor. Because they think stand-up comedy is theatre. It isn't. It's just some bloke with a microphone.
Well, yeah,
telling
jokes. It's interesting that you mentioned stand-up comedy, because now there is like a... I mean, it's growing. It's catching up steam here in Argentina with more people. I mean, being able to say that stand-up comedy, just a guy on the stage with a microphone facing the audience, and that is not comedy. That's something else. That is not stand-up comedy. I mean... Argentines are becoming more aware of the genre.
Yeah, it's growing very much. The news hasn't reached everybody, though. There was a much commented article in La Nación yesterday, but I've forgotten the name of the journalist, but every stand-up comedian I know shared it on Facebook and said, what a stupid woman, because her main criticism, and she went to see the biggest stand-up comedians in Argentina, which is Campa and Pichot, and she complained that the show consisted of two people talking into a microphone under a spotlight for an hour each, and
that's the only thing that she could see.
There were no costumes or singing or anything. This is stand-up comedy. This is kind of what people do.
Is this person aware of the existence of Seinfeld, for example?
Apparently not. No, apparently she's lived in a very strange bubble for the last 30 years and has never come across any kind of form of stand-up comedy. But there you go.
Well, and now regarding the book, I have to ask something that you must have answered like 100 times, but how you came up with the idea of doing this?
Yeah, this came about from reading a book by A.J. Jacobs called The Know-It-All, which is about he's a New York journalist. He's the editor at Esquire. And he wrote a book in about 2005 about how he spent a year reading the whole of the Encyclopedia Britannica, which is 33,000 pages, and quite big pages as well. And I read that, and it was a very funny book. And I thought I'd like to do something along those lines of setting myself some kind of marathonic, as we say in Spanish, maratónico, but a hugely pointless task. Just for the sake of doing it, because I was at a bit of a loose end, you know. I'm a translator by profession, and sometimes you have weeks where there's absolutely tons of work, and sometimes you have months where there's nothing to do. So I thought, I should do something more useful with my time. So I thought, I originally thought of studying the whole of the big English Spanish dictionary and memorizing the whole dictionary just so that I could be a really annoying language pedant. But I did about 2 pages and I thought, God, this is really boring. I'm gonna call this a day.
It's a good idea, though.
Yeah, another time. So I thought of taking all the buses. Originally, I wanted to take all the trains in Argentina, but there aren't that many. Anymore,
unfortunately.
Although that is now actually the project that I'm doing is my new project. So I decided to take all the buses, and I took 7 buses in 2009 and got very bored and didn't know how to ride about the whole thing.
You get bored pretty easily.
I don't know why I was so surprised. So I gave up on that, and then happened to mention it a year and a half later when I was interviewed in Clarín newspaper on a piece about expats in Buenos Aires. And it got picked up by 3 radio stations who thought it was a wonderful thing. And I misjudged the idea in that the colectivos, the buses of Buenos Aires, are very special to people from Buenos Aires. They're very kind of iconic and representative.
Yeah.
The people think that they invented the buses.
That is exactly what I wanted to mention, because on this show, and we do loads of cultural features, and we mention colectivos a lot, I do not endorse the fact that we invented public buses. But yes, they are an icon of Buenos Aires. And what I wanted to ask you is, in what the colectivo... first, why don't you describe for a foreign audience that hasn't been to Argentina, I mean, how the system works? What's particular about the bus system in Buenos Aires City? If there is something particular.
I don't think there's anything particular about it anymore. I think it captured a lot of people's imaginations here because it used to be something. It's something that a lot of people feel very nostalgic about. And nostalgia is always a big thing in Argentina and in Buenos Aires. Because it used to be the case that the buses were all painted with this firulete or fileteada design, which is a very flowery and tango-esque kind of colors and things.
Isn't that because, I mean, the bus drivers own the colectivos? They had their own colectivo, they could do whatever, they could intervene the colectivo as much as they wanted in the past.
I think they actually owned the bus, and they worked for a company, but they owned the bus, or they were leased it or something. But now all the buses belong to the companies, and they just drive them. And so they would decorate their own buses. You still see the decorations now with the hat and the magic wand and the dye and the Playboy.
And have you been to those with black lights and with mini bars?
I haven't seen a mini bar, no.
No. Like a mini bar replica.
Right.
A mini bar replica. I saw that in the 39. I used to take the 39 very early in the morning with black lights. And next to the wheel, the guy had a mini tray with tiny glasses. They were replicas, of whiskey and glasses. It was like a nightclub. And it was amazing, of course, even for a local.
Yeah, but the system now isn't that different from any other bus system in the world. But it's still got something special about it. And actually taking the whole buses, actually doing the whole thing, was very interesting for me because I'd lived in Buenos Aires for 15 years, kind of on the north side of the city, like a lot of people do. You know, you live in like the same areas and never really venture any further. And so it was a great opportunity to discover the other side of the city and find out that it wasn't quite as dangerous as everyone had told me it would be.
Okay, let us. We're gonna enlarge upon this, but now we're gonna have a musical break before continuing with the interview with Daniel Tunar, who's presenting his book on taking all of the buses in Buenos Aires. That will come up after. He was just mentioning exploring parts of the city you haven't been. I mean, you lived in the northern part of the city, north of Rivadavia.
Yes, in Belgrano.
In Belgrano. Well, this is about the other part of the city, the south, a track that makes reference to the corner of San Juan and Boyle. How many times you've been through that corner?
I lost count. I couldn't understand why anybody had written a song about it.
Is that there used to be a bar, a pretty popular bar back in the 30s and 40s, called The Airplane, in that corner. But is that a very busy hub in terms of public transportation, Boyle and San Juan?
Yeah, pretty much anywhere where two avenues cross, you can pretty much guarantee it's a busy transport hub.
Obvious question then. Well, this is Edmundo Rivero with a track devoted to a corner of Buenos Aires in the southern part of the city, entitled South.
Allá la inundación, tu melena de novia en el recuerdo y tu nombre flotando en el adiós. La esquina del herrero, barro y pampa, tu casa, tu vereda y el zanjón, y un perfume de suyos y de alfalfa que me llena de nuevo el corazón. Paredón y después sur, una luz de almacén. Ya nunca me verás como me vieras, recostado en la vidriera, esperándote. Ya nunca alumbraré con las estrellas nuestra marcha sin querellas por las noches de Pompeya, las calles y las lunas suburbanas, y mi amor en tu ventana, todo ha muerto. Ya lo sé. San Juan y Boedo antiguo, cielo perdí, Pompeya y al llegar al terraplén, tus 20 años temblando de cariño, bajo el beso que entonces te robé. Nostalgia de los años que han pasado, arena que la vida se llevó, pesadumbre del barrio que ha cambiado y amargura del sueño que murió. Paredón y después una luz almacén. Ya nunca me verás como me vieras, recostado en la vidriera, esperándote. Ya nunca alumbraré con las estrellas nuestra marcha sin querellas por las noches de Pompeya, las calles y las lunas suburbanas, y mi amor en tu ventana, todo ha muerto. Ya lo sé.
The signature melody, the signature song of poet Homero Manzi, music by Aníbal Troilo, entitled Sur or South in the rendition of Edmundo Rivero. And here in the studio we've got Daniel Tunard from the UK, living in Argentina, has been living in the country for several years, and he's an author, translator, stand-up comedian, and he's releasing a book this week entitled Collectivization. By the way, why did you pick that name?
I can't remember. Somebody asked me where I was when I came up with the name. I'm going to start telling people that it was on the honeymoon in Russia, and there's lots of like collectivization things there, that it came to me in Red Square. But that's a lie.
That should have been before 1989.
For one thing, Red Square was closed, so we didn't even go there. So, I don't know. At some stage in 2010, before I started the project, I thought collectivization, and then that was it.
Okay.
I don't know.
The book is about taking all of the buses in Buenos Aires, and what I wanted to ask you before is, we consider buses to be such iconic, and what is overrated about our buses? I mean,
absolutely
from the point of view,
nothing.
Nothing.
No, they're marvelous things.
I mean,
I think nostalgia is overrated. Nostalgia isn't what it used to be.
Okay.
Back in my day, nostalgia was good, you know.
You're in the country of nostalgia.
Yeah, I know.
And you say that nostalgia isn't what it used to be.
It's been devalued. It's not what it used to be.
How do you see the young people, the new generations, maintaining this Argentine tradition of nostalgia?
I don't know. I fear for the younger generations. I don't know what memories they've got of anything.
Too focused on the future. Now.
I know. They're too much in the now.
And what is underrated about the bus system of Buenos Aires?
I think the bus system in Buenos Aires is very good in general. When I tell people that I took all the buses in Buenos Aires, I think it must have been difficult. But it's quite well run, especially compared to the trains and the subway, which are both areas which are a bit more thorny issues and in need of a lot more kind of investment and development.
Yeah. It's because there are fewer subway lines and so many bus lines that it's more convenient or it's more comfortable to travel to commute by bus.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. The subway system is underdeveloped, so yeah. There needs to be more developed, because this means that the buses kind of take the take all the strain of the public transport a lot of times, and so I think they need to have to find a way to alleviate things and get people onto bikes as well and stop people using their cars, like in pretty much any city.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you paralyze we saw this last year. There was a massive subway strike.
Mm.
I mean, the subway system of Buenos Aires was paralyzed for, I think it was 10 days.
Yeah.
Practically 2 weeks. And the city was in chaos.
Mm.
But it still functioned. But I think that if you have the city without buses for 10 days, I mean, it can't function. It cannot function, I think.
Yeah, I think it'd be a nice holiday for everybody, wouldn't it? more than anything.
No, but I mean the subway system covers 30%
right
of the city, and 25% of the inhabitants. Whereas the bus reaches practically every corner of the city.
Yeah, yeah, and out of the city and into the province as well. So yeah, it's definitely something that a lot more people rely on.
Have you got an idea? I mean, you said 142 lines that at some point go through the capital.
Yeah, there's 140 lines that have some kind of contact with the capital.
With the capital. And but do you have an idea how many in total in the Buenos Aires metropolitan area? Including
then there's 150 more which cover the Corner Urbano, the metro area. Yeah, which don't go into the capital. And then some of those that operate in the capital, I think about half of them operate outside the capital as well.
Now, talking about, you said that one of the reasons you did this project was to explore the city, which is something that I always encourage from the show. I used to be a tour guide, and I used to encourage visitors to go off the beaten path and discover, things that are beyond the obvious spots. I mean, going to London, just going to, I don't know, Trafalgar Square, and not going to the second zone two would be the equivalent of coming to Buenos Aires and just going to Plaza de Mayo and Corrientes Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would be the off the beaten path areas of Buenos Aires that you've seen from the buses that you would recommend a foreigner who comes visiting to explore?
I think that people should be encouraged to just jump on absolutely any bus and see where it takes them. Nothing bad can happen to you. You might end up in a shanty town. You might end up in a kind of ropey area, but really, it's all quite safe and
nothing.
And
nothing
regular.
Happened to you taking
nothing happened.
Not a single incident.
No, a bus kind of broke down because it was leaking some water.
But I'm talking about security in the previous part of this interview, you mentioned the fact that there are stories told to you about making you afraid of going into certain areas of Buenos Aires. And. And there is a discussion at the moment going on in Argentina about how to portray, how to convey the idea and to inform about crime. Mm-hmm. I mean, to not to blow out of proportion, not to play down crime. And obviously, taking all of the buses in Buenos Aires, you have some authority to say that, well, maybe the city is not as unsafe as the mainstream media pretends it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. This was something that I wanted to. I was biased from the beginning, really, because I wanted to disprove this idea that the that the city was a terrible no man's land where you couldn't venture at night. Not to take anything away from people who have been victims of crime, but I think Buenos Aires is pretty much as dangerous or as safe as anywhere like Paris or London or New York, if not safer. And especially taking buses on shanty towns, I recommend people to take the 46 or the 76 and the 23, if you happen to be in Buenos Aires now and looking for adventure, which kind of go through the shanty towns, and you see these are places where people live
and work,
normal and work, and then it's all very kind of everyday for them. It's not like this City of God, you know, the Brazilian film, and this kind of gunfights and chickens being slaughtered and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, even in City of God, I mean, they also include the idea that it's a minority of the residents of those favelas who are violent or who have some connection to crime, and it's the same everywhere.
Yeah,
same absolutely. Everywhere. I mean, yeah. you just said it. I mean, it's just a neighborhood. A low-income neighborhood with no pavement, but working people, just regular.
A big heart.
Yeah.
And then on the two occasions I've been robbed in Buenos Aires in 15 years, both of them happened in Palermo Viejo, in the main tourist area where.
Were you mugged or
the first time I was mugged at about 1 o'clock in the morning on a side street, and the second time I was. Very engrossed in a book, and had my swimming bag at my feet, and somebody just ran off with it without me realizing it, which is my fault really for being so stupid. And there's a criminal hanging around Palermo now with a wet towel and a pair of tight trunks. So good luck to him with that.
Now, being more specific about your favorite spots of the city, stuff that you've seen from the bus, or the most curious things that caught your attention. About Buenos Aires as a city, discovering it.
There's an area in the south near Villa Soldate called Parque de la Ciudad, which was originally in the 70s going to be like this magical theme park for the children. And it was open for a few years, but eventually it got closed down because it was very dangerous. But they haven't got around to redeveloping the area. And so you have this large observation tower, which looks like a spaceship, which you can see from any point in the south of the city. And there's like a forlorn-looking roller coaster, which has been abandoned. And you can walk around this park, and it's very interesting to walk around an abandoned theme park if you're the kind of person that takes interest in that kind of thing.
I mean, you from the bus, you can see that there are lots of underdeveloped places in the city, like open spaces, like fields with nothing.
Yeah,
that could be used for something else.
I mean, saw sheep. I saw a man with 12 sheep in the city of Buenos Aires, near where the racetrack, near where the autódromo is, where the Formula One racing track.
You kidding me, Obeja?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. It was right towards the end. I'd been past that place so many times, and suddenly there's a guy there with like 12 sheep grazing away. I saw an alpaca as well. I saw an alpaca in the agriculture faculty, the Facultad de Agronomía.
Do those things? The Facultad de Agronomía. That's
but still, you know, I'm there looking at the cows and the horses that you always have there, and suddenly there's this big woolly mammoth. Wow, look at that!
I didn't know those things survive.
And I said to the publishers, I want to have a big picture of an alpaca on the cover of the book, and they said, no, we're going to put an old bus sign.
Well, maybe an alpaca when the agronomía, I mean, the faculty is on, what's the avenue? San Martín,
San Martín, yeah.
I mean, with the alpaca near a bus stop on San Martín, that would have been a great
cover. That would have been great. Maybe for the second edition, I'll be able to get my way.
You told me that you're working on a new project now.
Yeah, I'm taking all the trains in Argentina.
Beyond
the General Paz. I've been beyond it many times already because I started this in April.
Sorry, for the audience, General Paz is one of the limits between Buenos Aires City, the capital, and the Buenos Aires province and the rest of the country.
The Ring Road.
Yeah, the Ring Road, yeah.
I went to Rosario on a train that takes 9 hours, where the car takes three, which is very entertaining because people take along their guitars and their mate and dice and these kinds of things.
All of us... mochileros or Argentine backpackers have done that.
Yeah. And we're looking in the summer. We're taking the train to Tucumán, which is like a 29-hour journey, and you have a little sleeping car.
Is it still working?
Still running. Yeah.
But I mean, you have to buy tickets like three months in advance.
Yeah, we're buying them next month, I think.
For the summer. Yeah.
Which in England isn't very uncommon. Normally you book your holiday about 10 months in advance. Yeah, but for Argentine, it's like if it's 5 days in advance, it's a tremendous thing.
The reason for, I think, no, my guess is that the reason for so many people wanting to take the bus is that there is the service is not that frequent.
Yeah.
And also, it's the cheapest option.
Yeah, there are only two services a week, and it's less than half the price of the coach. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. If you have a family, and there are lots of people from the provinces living in Buenos Aires, they want to go for a holiday or Christmas. Season and it makes a difference and it's worth the wait.
Yeah.
So well, you're going to take all of the buses in Argentina,
or the trains,
all of the trains.
Please pay attention.
Well, the buses, all of us in Argentina could be all the coaches.
That'd be terribly boring.
But I mean, you're going to be taking trains in Patagonia and everything.
Yeah, there's a train that goes to Bariloche. There's a train that's about 4 miles long in Ushuaia, so I've got to travel 3,000 kilometers to get down to Ushuaia to take a train that goes 4 kilometers to the old prison. There's a tram in Mendoza, which they've opened up now.
Yes.
And my idea, trying to think of what the narrative arc of the book should be, is that I should finish this in July 2014, just when Argentina win the World Cup in Brazil, would be a fantastic finish for the book. And I've communicated this ambition to the Argentine national team, and that they've actually said that this has motivated them, and they're going to win it for me.
That's a good idea. I support it, and it comes from an Englishman, so well. Well, Daniel, this has been great. Good luck with the book.
Thank you, Fernando.
It's an excellent idea. I've been familiar with the project since its, not inception, but since he started the second phase that has been...
Since that messy birth. You were there for the placenta.
Daniel, thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you, Fer.
That was Daniel Tunard, the English author residing in Argentina, is releasing Collectivization, a book on taking all of the buses of Buenos Aires City.
Available on Amazon.
Rai, Argentina's history and you.
And with that, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, for this Monday, July 28, 2025. RAE is broadcast through the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5,850 kHz, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias. I'd like to thank you very much for listening to this show. Join me tomorrow on a new program of RAE. Chao, hasta mañana.